Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you. Particularly special Monday for Pretty Daddy and I, Tom DeCelestino, the executive producer, because we are back from our vacations, and Tom is in a really, really good mood. He is excited to be back, and if you want to welcome him, celebrate the place he loves most, work. You can do that a couple ways. Twitter, Pretty Daddy CBS, or just let me know and I'll pass on the message. If you want a go-between, might be a good idea. Sports Writer, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Phone number 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. We got a pretty good show planned for you. A lot of college hoops, national championship game tonight. Purdue against UConn, hard not to make a joke about one of my colleagues' Purdue takes, but it looks like Matt Painter's done a pretty good job. And obviously last night, South Carolina's incredibly riveting win to crown themselves champions against Iowa and Caitlin Clark. And so Tom Crean, our buddy, former longtime men's basketball coach and now basketball analyst, will be on the show about an hour from now. We got a bunch of stuff to get to. We'll preview tonight's game. John Calipari absconded from Kentucky. Feels like under the cover of night, doesn't it? Under the cover of darkness for a whole lot of moolah in Arkansas. We've got a solar eclipse today, which I don't care about at all, but maybe I'm supposed to. Don't look at the sun, right? Cool, I won't. I'll be inside, I think, is my general plan. We'll obviously preview tonight's national championship game. The Doc Lock is real. And look, Milwaukee, where we're on the air. Sometimes with my kids, or maybe that's too condescending, with my best friends, I'll be right about something they don't want to hear. And they'll get mad at me. And we'll have an ugly stretch. But when they realize that I was right about something they didn't want to hear, and they come back and they apologize, I say, or at least I should say, I don't really say it, you don't need to apologize. This is what friendship is. So that's where I'm at with you right now. I know you got mad at me a couple weeks ago for something I wrote over at CBSSports.com. I know you got mad. You're an idiot. But I know it hurts. So we're going to talk about the Doc Lock. And if you haven't heard this, it's the lock that Doc gives you to let you down. If you haven't paid attention, the Milwaukee Bucks are a disaster. I will do buy or sell later in the program. We'll hit a bunch of stuff. I want to start last night's game. I guess yesterday's day game, unless you're on the East Coast. It was noon out here. Yesterday's game between South Carolina and Iowa was amazing. It was, as I said, riveting. It was as compelling a national championship I can remember in college basketball, men's or women's, in a really, I can't think. Maybe if Gordon Hayward shot many, many years ago had gone in against Duke, but it was just, there was something about that game that was remarkable. And I'm not going to pretend that I have watched women's college basketball or women's basketball in my life ever. I haven't. I guess I could give you the phony excuse. I don't even watch some of the sports I want to watch. I'm so busy watching stuff for my two jobs. But that's just not true. Like college baseball, I have no disrespect against women's basketball. And like college baseball, when I was in college, I went to some games because they were interesting. But there's only so much room in your day for so many sports and so many TV shows. There just is. And it wasn't something, that particular sport, that I felt compelled by. And obviously, Caitlin Clark is the reason that changed. Now, I've said this before, I'm from Iowa, and so the buzz of Caitlin Clark, my parents went to Iowa, and I almost went to Iowa, probably reached me a little bit earlier, but and had the same effect that it had on the rest of the country. And so I watched that championship last night in a couple, several different ways. And all of them reinforced for me what a transcendent player and run Caitlin Clark was, including the fact that I cared deeply, even though I rooted against them, and felt moved by South Carolina's victory. That is part of what Caitlin Clark did for that sport. I was so invested in the sport that even when I was, and my son Henry's not used to rooting for teams, he's 11, he was so angry at the universe when Iowa lost. Right? You know that phase where you're a kid and you start to realize not every team has a fairy tale ending. But that's part of what she accomplished. And my wife, who probably doesn't want me to say this on the air, but I'm going to, has a habit of showing up late for games and asking 58 questions at the most tense moments. So Lori shows up late for the fourth quarter, and then when Dawn Staley afterwards, if you saw this, the women's coach, the coach of the women's team of South Carolina, when she'd won, she couldn't speak. She tried to report, and I looked over at my wife, and she's sitting next to my son Henry, and he was red-faced and trying not to say words that'll get him grounded. And Lori was bawling. She was full-on crying because there was something about the remarkable emotion and accomplishment of South Carolina's perfect run. They did not lose a single game this year, coupled with the amazing greatness of that individual in Caitlin Clark. And I know here I'm supposed to say it's a team sport, and you know, I'm sorry, Hawkeyes fans, she was amazing, and that team was not on the same level in the same class, her teammates. They weren't. And so it was this really interesting Herculean effort. We compare Caitlin Clark all the time to Steph Curry, and it's a good comparison. And watching her play just reminded me that the thing that makes sports great, and I'm not going to get into the politics of this or all the ways that so many people on so many sides of the aisle have tried to make this a divisive issue, have tried to make this something that is a springboard for their own hate. The thing about Caitlin Clark that is amazing and that reminds me, and I brought this up before, but reminds me of Steph Curry and reminds me of Conor McGregor and reminds me of Ronda Rousey or Tiger Woods or Messi or occasional Olympians who we don't pay attention to but show up, is that sports is the ultimate meritocracy. And not just in the actual sport, not just in the NFL or in the NBA or in women's college basketball, but if you're good enough and you're interesting enough and you are compelling enough, you can rise above your own sport and command all this attention, all this inspiration, and make kids not want to swear on their couches and wives not want to cry but do it anyway. And people like me who, look, I know we're all busy, make that championship game, one I've probably never watched before, a requirement of my weekend coming back from my vacation and building my travel around it because I wanted to see it. That's an amazing accomplishment by Caitlin Clark. And watching Iowa's loss and Caitlin Clark's heartbreak and South Carolina's very well-deserved celebration and Staley's inability to speak, it just struck me that one of the real shockers, probably the wrong word, but moving realities of Caitlin Clark's greatness. And her greatness is pretty undisputed. She had 18 first quarter points when Iowa got off to that really big lead. I mean, she's won every single award on the face of the earth. She's got the most 30-point games by man or woman in Division I history in the past 25 years. She's won all the awards. She's broken all the records. If you watch the game, you saw there's something about her. But what was really amazing to me was the way in which she brought me into a sport that I just, or a part of the sport that I just haven't paid attention to. And you can say that that's sexist of me, and you can say that it's not. I don't think it is any more than I'm not sexist because I don't, or whatever it would be, because I don't watch as much UFC as I used to. And I used to cover UFC. I really, really like it. I used to watch a lot of tennis. I don't anymore. I don't have time, men's and women's. It's a great Larry David bit that's out there on another radio show where he just says, I got to know about Drake starting backcourt when somebody asked him about his bracket. Caitlin Clark, in my very busy life, made this particular part of the sport compelling and must watch. And in watching her, I watched other teams and got invested in those teams too. And I was thinking about all this. I really was when Dawn Staley got to her, you know, you win, you celebrate, the confetti falls down. People like your wife ask you, is there tape in that reporter's hair? You say, no, that's confetti, because maybe she doesn't watch a lot of sports. It's fine. I love you, babe. Tom's laughing at me. And then after she sort of composed herself and at the point where she was now on a podium, actually it was like a stage, and being celebrated, Dawn Staley, I thought, and I didn't have to do this, what class act to talk about another team's player. I thought the idea of Caitlin Clark being bigger than or separate from women's sports is wrong. She's just this remarkable extension of it that pulled us all in, and I thought the South Carolina head coach nailed it with graciousness and accuracy in talking about why Caitlin Clark was so inspiring for all of us.
I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games, and we appreciate you.
Greatness is greatness, and that's the thing about sports. And sometimes it can be in really small sample sizes. Jeremy Lin comes to mind, where that guy was just a guy, and then there was this, and I can't even remember, even though I covered it, four-week run where the entire world watched, and then it went away. The thing about Caitlin Clark is this was done over multiple seasons in a sport where you don't have as many eyeballs, so it's harder to get that tipping point. And despite the fact that she lost, that sport won. And she talked, now this is Saturday, this is between the championship game and what was a really hard-fought and fun win against LSU, which, by the way, was another amazing game. Those teams do not like each other is wrong. I mean, I think it's right. But respectful is not it either. They just have a rivalry. And so between the relief of winning that game and before the pressure and the expectation and the possibility that ultimately came up short of Caitlin Clark being a national champion, and I love this, she reflected on her legacy in a way that, again, I think speaks to not just her, but the greatness of sports and its ability to reach across all these different aisles.
I don't want my legacy to be, oh, Caitlin won X amount of games or Caitlin scored X amount of points. It's, you know, I hope it's what I was able to do for the game of women's basketball. I hope it is the young boys and young girls that are inspired to play the sport or dream to do whatever they want to do in their lives. And, I think it's just the people that we've brought together, the joy we've brought to people, the way people are recognizing women's basketball is a sport. It's fun to watch. Everybody loves it. It can be on the highest of stages. I think you see that with the viewership numbers. And to me, for it to come down to 40 minutes and for me to, you know, validate myself within 40 minutes, I don't think that's a fair assessment.
To her point, it has been nothing but eyeballs on these games. And for Iowa and LSU in that game, which was an Elite Eight draw, by the way, I mean, one versus three, it was a really good game. That drew 12.3 million viewers. And then the win for Iowa over UConn to get to the Final Four drew 14.2 million people. And we don't have the numbers for yesterday's championship game. They'll probably be higher. And that's the amazing thing about sports. This, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, because Steph Curry was random in a way that LeBron James was not, right? LeBron was on the cover of Sports Illustrated and the chosen one, and Steph out of Davidson kind of came out of nowhere. Couldn't quite carry that team the way that Caitlin Clark did, but a similar thing. The randomness of this kid from Iowa commanding all of these eyeballs and becoming this sensation where celebrities are showing up at games and getting on the bandwagon and trying to be seen on TV at a Caitlin Clark game. And her well-earned greatness, bringing all this attention to maybe the greatest college basketball run in history by South Carolina. Because South Carolina, did not lose a single game the entire season. And got down, I mean, look, they got down double digits in the first quarter to an Iowa team with a lot of time left. And South Carolina had a huge size advantage. Hell, they had a massive talent advantage. That was a That is a great basketball team. So for Caitlin Clark to bring some of that shine and shine it on one of the greatest sports teams we've ever seen, that sports. And what a rivalry. And what a day. And for me, at least, maybe it should be. Maybe just you. Maybe it's the opposite. I guess we can all enjoy the things we enjoy through whatever prism we want to. To me, Caitlin Clark isn't amazing because she's a woman or a female athlete or because she brought us attention, although to a sport we don't pay attention to. I don't, although that's certainly all true. To me, Caitlin Clark falls into those ranks of athletes who have transcended and risen above and been bigger than their sport because of their individual greatness, because of something in watching them. Again, short-term, maybe like Jeremy Lin, or long-term like LeBron James, or hopefully Shohei Ohtani, or medium-term like a Conor McGregor or a Ronda Rousey. And I'm just turning to people that maybe Mahomes right now, I think, is the same thing. Hard to do in the NFL because it's such an amazing sport, so much parity. But her greatness, Caitlin Clark's greatness, like the people I mentioned, it is something more than what we normally see. It is the fulfillment of what you want in sports, to actually truly feel inspired, truly feel moved, and not have to fake it or reach for it. You just, it's there. What a run. I know it's a bummer for her and Iowa that they lost, but what a game, what a career, and certainly worth celebrating to start off this show. Congratulations to Caitlin Clark, and of course, congratulations to South Carolina. That women's basketball team was amazing and a well-deserved win, and that kind of graciousness from Dawn Staley at the end. I mean, you can be a winner, you can be a class act. Pretty cool when you're both. All right, 855-212-4CBS. You want to give us a holler? I had to give Tom. I'm not going to talk to Tom this segment. Pretty Daddy is not happy, but he's on a good vacation. We're going to check in. We're going to see how long his drive to South Carolina was. Oh, isn't that ironic? The guy, what a bandwagon. Where are you going to vacation? South Carolina. I think they're going to win the whole thing. I've always been a South Carolina fan. We'll check in on Pretty Daddy, and we'll talk about John Calipari just being like, I'm out. I'm out of here. You want to? John Calipari did the thing that I wish I'd done when I was younger. To be fair, I only got broken up with like once, but a little humble brag. I just snuck it in there. I'm like a virus. Nobody wants to date me. When they did, they're like, oh, you're pretty cool. I wasn't, but I just tricked him. You're going to break up with me? I break up with you. That's what Cal did. We'll get into that next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Hoppity dippity dude.
On CBS Sports Radio.
Hoppity dippity dude. What the hell is that, Tom? Where'd that come from?
That's a brand new one right before vacation. You were in a great mood that day.
Do you remember the context of hoppity dippity doo?
No, you know I love context, but not for the rejoins. No context necessary.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning, buddy. How was your vacation?
Amazing.
Amazing.
Fantastic week off.
I did sort of tell you that I thought your drive was going to be a lot longer than you anticipated. Was I close to the mark?
Very much so. My drive both ways was absolutely awful.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Absolutely awful.
How long were you in the car with the kiddo and the wife?
13 and a half hours going down. And 14 hours coming back to New Jersey.
Straight.
Yeah, we stopped four times, which I thought was a nice number.
It's a terrible number, man.
Four times? A toddler and my wife in the car?
It is a reasonable number. It's still terrible.
I was expecting worse than four.
I'm not a stopper, although I've become more of one. But there was a time where I was like, if they had to go to the bathroom, I'd say, don't worry, we'll stop in 7 hours when we get there.
You'll be fine.
You drove straight through.
Yes, I drove every second of the drive.
You were like Purdue despite the doubters. You went all the way. Well, you're on the brink right now. They are.
Yep, I went all the way.
Well, it's good to see you. Are you glad to be back? Are you happy to be back?
Yes. Yes.
Do you care about this? So am I supposed to? I don't care. All right, let me start here. When I was a kid, there was a solar eclipse, and they told me I'd go blind if I looked at the sun. So when it happened, I wouldn't even look at the sky. So now I'm just mad. I'm not looking. I'm not in the right part of the country, right? If you're in the middle part of the parts of the middle part of the country, that you can, I guess, there's solar eclipse tourists. I don't want to put the glasses on. I don't care.
I don't have the glasses, and I'm seeing signs everywhere, like every road I drive on. Don't pull over. Don't look up. Don't cause traffic. Do people really care about this?
I think people are super into it.
Why?
Super into it. I don't know.
I don't get it.
Is this the moon blocking the sun? Yeah, because the sun blocking the moon wouldn't be a solar eclipse. I wouldn't be able to see it.
That makes sense.
There was a great TV show, and great is I'm using that loosely, on NBC back in the day called Heroes. And there'd be a solar eclipse and some crazy mutant stuff would happen. So that would be cool. I get power. I could fly.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening today.
I don't think it's coming for me.
But, like, my wife has me concerned. Like, don't look up at the sun. But, like, isn't it going to be dark? Isn't that what's happening?
Yeah, but that's the point, is you could look up and think you're not looking at the sun and burn your retina out. But staring at it. But it's
I'm going to be driving home through the peak of this thing. So, like, I have
there
to look at some point.
Don't look at the sun. You never just drive straight ahead.
Well, now when I'm thinking.
What time
about
is it happening? Is it actually going to get dark outside?
Yeah, like in my section of the country, like it's in the Northeast. It's going to be like around 3 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, so this is dumb. I just Googled solar eclipse 2024, and Google turned my screen into an eclipse for a second.
That's kind of funny.
Now, come at me mad, irrationally angry.
Welcome back from vacation.
Yeah, that was. 11:07 will begin at Mexico Pacific time. Okay, so I guess that's the same. I just Googled Pacific time. Got it. I'm assuming here too.
I'm not into it.
I guess I just got. You know what? I won't look up, but I 11:07 maybe is what I'm seeing here. Texas at 1:27. So I guess it depends where you are. Don't know. I'm not going to Google my home city. I don't want to know that much. Actually, I think I'll be walking. I think I'll be on a little merry walk.
But are they doing anything for, like, your kiddos at school? Or do they have the glasses?
So I'm sure Lori's going to love me bringing this up, but the geniuses that run my kids' school district, for whom my wife works, didn't plan anything. But it's hard because solar eclipses are random events.
You don't get a lot of notice for these things.
You don't. I don't know what's more shocking. That a school district in America didn't plan for the solar eclipse, or that John Calipari left I love the word absconded. I've used it like three times today. Absconded. Now, I'll say this. All right, so Cal's been at Kentucky for a long time, but he hasn't won that national championship since, 2012. He's got a really impressive resume, but he's gone out to some brutally low seeds the last few years, and the last several years he has shockingly underwhelmed. And he is a very highly paid coach. But to see him go to Arkansas is a bit of a shocker. This news came down last night when you were sleeping. I always love when breaking news happens because, not to overshare, you won't write me for hours, but then you'll write me as if you're awake when you obviously get up to go to the old man bathroom moment. So it's the same time. Like, have you had that checked out?
I can't stand when breaking news happens when I'm asleep. I hate it because I wake up to either, I think last night was one text from you. And yep. I didn't try to pretend like I was awake. I gave you like the exclamation point on your text.
Yeah, I almost set an alarm for when I knew you were going to text me back. And you're so tired, you'll just write exclamation point on the message, or question mark, or heart. I mean, I know you're looking for a new emoji that somehow communicates I've been up the whole time, which you don't have to be. It's super late your time. I'm on the West Coast and you're on the East Coast.
I've been talking to people about that. We're still in the ground stage.
Still efforting. So it happened late last night. Cal is finalizing a 5-year deal to be the head coach at Arkansas, and it looks like he's going to make slightly less than base salary at $8.5 million. Than the $8.5 million he made it at Kentucky. There's a lot of things going on here. One, he has not been particularly impressive or effective over the last several years. And two, the guy who runs Tyson Foods, which if you eat chicken, you probably have given that guy some of your money, is a major Arkansas booster who Cal calls a dear friend and now is going to make Cal dearly rich, and what's even more rich. And what's interesting about this is that Calipari's contract at Kentucky did not have a buyout he owed Kentucky if he left. So if he left and he was at the height of his game and he went somewhere else, he's just like, deuces, I'll see ya. There wasn't a penalty he had to pay the university, but they had to guarantee every dollar to him, or at least a bunch of it. So he would have been owed more than $33 million to fire him. So I could come on here and say that he's a coward and he's running away or that he's a failure, but really sometimes people just need fresh starts. And at the risk of comparing everything to a relationship the way Tom did our first 6 or 7 months on the show when it was rom-com Tom, remember those days? Everything was some girl from high school that you knew?
I was trying to work through a couple things.
I know. I hope you did. I feel like you did. Sometimes after a long time, a relationship's just gone bad and everybody needs a fresh start. And this feels like a win for everyone. Kentucky obviously has massive expectations. I mean, this is a blue blood program. It's part of the reason there was an outcry against his team's recent performances. Now, there's a world where this doesn't work at Arkansas, by the way, because my argument would be that Cal has always been a better recruiter than coach. And that is widely believed to be the case around college basketball. That in the old system, he had a massive advantage where you get these kids in. Remember, they couldn't really transfer. A lot of them would be one-and-dones. But he would get so much overwhelming talent that A, he would just win from talent alone. He would obviously bristle at that. But since he is skulking off to Arkansas, I think maybe he's not in a position right now to argue with that. And B, and I think this is to his credit, he would have so much talent, and guys have talked about this, all these dudes that have come out of Kentucky, that they would practice against each other. Even some freshmen who wouldn't play a lot would get so good because basically you'd have 8 or 9 or 10 future NBA players, whether it was an Anthony Davis level or a lower level, Jamal Murray, there's so many names. And that would sharpen these guys. It would make them better. But the ability to have a monopoly on recruitment, on talent, has gone away for a few reasons. One, there's NIL. And I'm not suggesting anything ever untoward happened with these old programs, but whatever silver tongue Cal had can't compete with the color green when you can actually legally pay somebody money. It can't. When the field is even and kids can't get paid, the best recruiter, the best salesman, and not just selling snake oil, selling, I'll get you to the NBA, you'll practice against the same level, look at my track record, it matters. The reality is when you're recruiting a 17 or 18-year-old young man / kid, it's who can pay the most money, and that's going to be divvied up because there are boosters out there, like the gentleman who runs Tyson Foods, who are going to spend a lot of money on coaches and are going to be able to spend a lot of money at various booster levels on NIL deals and packages and conglomerates that bring in kids. The other reality for Cal is that the transfer portal means that when he lands a kid who doesn't play as much as he thinks that he should, in the old day he just had to practice and he had to work his way into the starting rotation. And when that didn't happen, he'd still make the guys around him better, make himself better, there'd be this competition, which makes teams really, really effective. When the kid can transfer, he just shuts it down and says, bleep this and gets out of there. All those things play against Cal. I don't know if it's going to work at Arkansas. But the thing is, and those of you that have moved will know what this is like. I moved a lot as a kid. I've moved a lot as an adult. Moving is a fresh start in a lot of ways for yourself as a person. It gives you a chance to have a little perspective, to maybe correct some habits that you have. As I say this out loud, I feel like Tom should move. But you're a great guy. That was a shot, wasn't it? It just kind of came out.
Sure felt like one.
Yeah, it was.
Two segments.
Maybe 2 segments in. I missed you. It feels like this is a chance for Cal to reevaluate how he goes about building teams and try to adjust it for a modern era in which the rules have changed. I like it for Arkansas, and I used to live in that state, so I have some sense of that program and the ambitions there. They view themselves going back to the Nolan Richardson days, of being capable of being an outstanding basketball team. And this is one of the most successful coaches in the history of the sport, whatever's happened the last few years. I like it for Kentucky because it was time to move on from Calipari, and especially if you can get out from under the $33 million. And I like it for Cal because sometimes fresh starts matter. Tom, I'm sorry that I said you should move because you're flawed. I'm not that sorry. I don't know why I'm apologizing.
Yeah,
to you.
That felt like it came from the heart there.
It made me laugh. Well, I do think like growth is important. And you said you've been working through some stuff. I want to just work through a lot of stuff.
But why do I need to move states to work through
some
things?
Are you from Jersey or New York?
I'm from New York.
You're from the sort of the area, the tri-state area.
Yeah, about 45 minutes north of Manhattan.
Do you consider yourself a New Yorker?
No.
You consider yourself a Jersey person?
Yeah, it's been over a decade now.
You've been living in Jersey?
Yeah.
Have you? What's the furthest you've ever lived from Manhattan?
Right now.
Which is what, 30 miles?
No. I'm probably about the 50-mile range.
You're 50 miles out?
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun commute.
You want to do it sometime with me?
I've tried to glean from you an invitation that I would probably turn down if I knew it was 50 miles away.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm very pleasant in the morning.
Would we have to drive in the car? So we'd take the train after the show, and then you would drive me in your car?
Oh, yeah. Close confinement.
How long would my Uber ride from your house back to my hotel in Manhattan be?
Your Uber, it's probably about 45 minutes in rush hour.
I mean, I'd be going late. We'd have dinner, and then we'd sit out in the backyard and have beers.
Of course.
Mrs. DeSell and young Sir DeSell, Will, would go to bed.
Your name's
we would just We would look at the stars and contemplate the universe. So let's say I'm going back at 10 p.m.
I think you can maybe do it in about 35 minutes then.
I'm also expensing the Uber, so it's not.
There you go.
Okay. So I'm out in a couple of weeks. Well, you just put that on the calendar.
I can't wait.
I'm really excited too. Should we get into the Doc Lock? You know what will bring us back together? Doc Rivers, who tears everything apart, but it's kind of fun to watch from a distance. Why the Milwaukee Bucks are doomed. It's because of their head coach. I'll tell you the end of the movie. Like my wife, she will literally just Wikipedia and Google the end of movies. So let me do it for you. Doc's the problem. But we'll get into it. We'll start at the beginning after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Andrew Bogish.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Can't stand phonies. Holden Caulfield style. Those bleep and bleep phonies.
On CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. By the way, Jason in Atlanta gave us a call to say he's glad that we're back. Thanks, man. Appreciate you listening. Best restaurant in an airport in America is in Atlanta. It's so good that I would almost, like, if you found one of those Southwest flights for like $12, or whatever, I would almost buy the I'd buy the ticket just to go eat the restaurant. One flew south, I think it's called.
It's that good.
It's amazing.
What kind of cuisine?
It's sort of new American. It also has sushi and has great cocktails. So it's like you can get Southern comfort food. You can get upscale sushi. I've always put CBS Sports first. But when it's overlapped with their needs, I may have had some long layovers there on purpose.
I see.
I once could have flown direct, but I connected through Atlanta because I really wanted to eat there.
And you're a big direct flight guy.
I'm a direct flight guy. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there were some other I think there were some other circumstances that were part of that.
Yeah, you were hungry.
I was hungry. Thank you. And let me ask you a question, Tom. Executive producer Tom DeCelestino. What would you do in this situation? You're at a nice hotel. Now, forget the fact that it's fancy schmancy and you paid with points. By the way, can I just say, because I went to two fancy schmancy places, to the clerk who announced to the room, I see you're paying with points, Mr. Ryder. Don't worry, you won't be charged. Hey, thanks, bro. Why don't you shut your face? Okay. Public shaming at fancy schmancy hotels always. I once went into London to show my kids the Ritz. It's not even a Ritz-Carlton, it's the Ritz in London. And I didn't realize you're not allowed to wear jeans. I had jeans on. and they kicked me out in front of my children very nicely.
You were dressed up. You were in jeans.
I was. I had jeans on, and I think, did I have a sport? We were going to dinner, maybe a sports coat, and I thought I looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Matching sneakers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got kicked right out of there.
Excuse me, sir. Get the bleep out of here. Daddy, why is he making you leave? Oh, because your dad can't dress, buddy. That's the issue. All right, what would you do? You're at a fancy schmancy hotel you paid for with points. And I know some of you smoke. I get it. But you're not allowed to. And somebody keeps, you have an outdoor patio and you near the ocean, and somebody keeps smoking and it keeps wafting into your room. What do you do? It happens for days.
First things first, are they allowed to be smoking on said patio?
They are not.
You got to complain then. Have to.
Definitely did. Definitely didn't do anything. They just kept doing it.
Called the front desk?
Furtively in the corner. Oh, yeah.
Did
you? I actually gave it a little time. Then I called the front desk and said, hey, is this allowed? Oh, no, sir. I'm so sorry. But then it just kept happening.
But it didn't get to the point where you politely, of course, knocked on their door.
They're outside at one point. So Lori, my wife, really hates cigarette smoke. But she hates, I think, even more me being confrontational. Because I just said, I'll deal with it. I will happily. And my kids are like, deal with it, deal with it, deal with it. They want to see it. Lori's, no.
Oh, yeah. I would have left the room, walked down the hallway. I want no part of that.
A great April Fool's joke to plan you would be to set up a confrontation with somebody in the building in advance and not tell you and do it right in front of you.
I don't love that.
Yeah. Did you miss me, Tom?
I did. We spoke a few times, and you actually answered.
Yeah, why did you call me? You called me a couple times.
Yeah, I missed you. We talk every day. It's weird not talking to you.
There's an emptiness, even when you love your job. There's a hollowness that comes over you when you've been on a vacation, like Tom and I have been, and know you're returning. And I had an amazing family vacation, too. It wasn't just time off. I had this great time with my kids and my wife. It was, and the smokers. It was awesome. And there's a hollowness, right? There's a hollowness that you have to fight through, an emptiness. I want you to remember that feeling, Tom, or those of you that have been through it, and I want you to extend it to weeks or months or years. That is what it feels like when Doc Rivers coaches your team. Because you think, let's say you have Giannis and you have Lillard and you have Chris Middleton and you have already a championship, you think you're on this vacation-like run of magic, right? This alleviation from your daily woes through your sports team that you love. And then they appoint a guy who's best known for the Doc Lock. And the Doc Lock is a term that we've coined here on Rider Than You, that if his team is up 3-1 or 2-0 in a series in the playoffs, I have always bet the opposite, quite literally. And I have made it a substantial amount of money. Is it because I am smart? No. Is it because that makes me some kind of X's and O's wizard? A Harry Potter of basketball, I am not. It's simply that it's a known formula. Doc Rivers has blown more 3-1 series leads than anyone in history, 3 of the 11 that have happened, a multitude of 2-0 series. I saw a stat the other day, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like 18 consecutive games in which he had had a chance to close out, I guess, a semifinal series or some. I don't have it in front of me. He had lost. It was mind-blowing. But the Doc Lock, while playoff reality, a truism, while those physics apply to the universe of the playoffs, they can bleed into and impact the reality of the regular season. When they fired Adrian Griffin in Milwaukee, despite the fact he was whatever it was, 30-13, I think is the record, they did it because they thought Doc Rivers was going to be an improvement, because Doc Rivers, who had been hired as an advisor to Adrian Griffin, advised fire Adrian and hire me. That's certainly one of the interpretations that are out there. And at a certain point, 25 games into his spell, Doc Rivers was on a post-All-Star game run of 15 games that was pretty good. And I wrote a story for CBSSports.com that said, I think this might be an illusion. Here are some numbers. Here's why. And people in Milwaukee got really, really mad. Well, let's fast forward to today. Doc Rivers is well under 500, 15-17, as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. He has lost his team 4 straight in 7 of their last 10 games. And here's a fun little story. Not only did they lose to 3 consecutive lottery teams in the Wizards, Grizzlies, and Raptors, they were the first team in 30 years, the Bucks, to lose outright 3 consecutive times to teams they were double-digit favorites over. This is epically bad stuff. If Giannis misses a game here or there, if Middleton gets hurt and misses, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that they're not playing the Denver Nuggets, okay? They're playing teams that they should wipe the floor with. Over the last week since I've been gone, Doc Rivers has blamed the traveling staff. The traveling staff for what has gone wrong. And yesterday, Doc Rivers, and you'll hear the question here, was asked, hey, man, you're the coach. Maybe you could fix this?
As a coach, how do you try to get your team out of this?
But with a win. You know, you need a win. You need something to go your way. I've been through it, you know. But this team is too talented, in my opinion, to go through this. You know, no matter who's been in and out, every team has guys out. And so I got to figure that out.
Well, on this we agree. Doc's right. The team that he coaches, that he's responsible for, that he's the steward of, is too talented for this. And let's break down this. They're too talented for this. What is this? It is an utter abdication of any responsibility that adheres to the level of excellence that's on the roster, translated to the kind of wins, or at least a lack of the humiliation that you get from the recent run of games. But the thing about we're too talented for this is, do you know why you're it's because of the coach, Doc. You're the coach. You're the coach. It's not the traveling staff. It's not the kit man. What do they call him? Sucker. The guy that folds the towels is the reason that you're... The lack of professionalism is from the guy that folds the towels. When somebody laid out Giannis's uniform, it wasn't crisp enough, and Giannis saw that and thought, I can't compete tonight. Well, I guess it'll just be the Grizzlies who win. What are we talking about here? What a disaster. And the thing about this is, the East is pretty wide open. Yes, 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 I know. The Boston Celtics are remarkable on paper. They are the best team by record in the NBA. They are top five in offensive and defensive rating. They have in Jason Tatum a guy that plays near an MVP level, right? There's other guys that will be higher on that list. I got to vote for that stuff pretty soon. I better start figuring that out. They are incredibly deep, and we know that they've added Jrue Holiday, who's a winner, defensive presence, can hit big shots, is good offensively. The Bucks know a thing or two about his contributions at the highest level of the sport. They added Kristaps Porzingis in the offseason. They're amazing. But everybody else is in dire trouble. The Knicks lost Julius Randle for the remainder of the year. He shut it down. Now, OG Anunoby is back, but still, Randle's offense in particular was going to be important, I think, to win multiple series. I still like the Knicks, actually, but that's a big loss. The Cavs have been wildly inconsistent in Donovan Mitchell's situation. The Orlando Magic are currently the 3 seed, and maybe I'm just wrong and sleeping on the Magic, but they, to me, are too young and inexperienced, like a poor man's version of the Thunder, which is still pretty impressive, but too young and inexperienced to make a deep run. The Pacers are the 6 seed. They're wildly, wildly inconsistent. Then you got teams like the Heat who are down on the play and the Sixers. I think the Sixers are interesting, too, with Embiid back. But it is wide open. Somebody's got to make it to the conference finals and make the Celtics beat them. And the Celtics have not been great in big moments, and Jason Tatum has been, and we've discussed this, literally, of guys that take a lot of shots that actually matter. The worst clutch time player in the NBA over the last 3 years, playoffs included. Playoffs included, just not good in those moments. This is an opportunity and an opening. This is a chance. You traded for Damian Lillard. You moved on from Jrue Holiday. You doubled down to try and make this year, maybe next year, the year, and you brought in a guy, Doc Rivers, who is poison to excellence, who is the antidote to success. Doc Rivers is the problem. Look, maybe they'll figure it out. I don't think they will. Maybe they'll somehow get it going. But if you can't beat, and by the way, let me also say this. This Milwaukee Bucks team is only up a game now on the Magic and the Knicks for the 2 seed. They could end up in the bracket with the Boston Celtics, and Doc Rivers could again fail to get to a conference finals. So the games that they've lost, the 4 in a row, including the Knicks game is different, which, by the way, was a pretty big collapse. But the 3 against brutally bad teams where they were double-digit favorites, those games matter. They're important. They're stressful. They're trying to hold on to the 2 seed, and they still can't win them. The Doc lock is real. So Milwaukee, I said this earlier. I feel like we're friends. My parents lived there for a while. Now I'm Milwaukee and Green Bay, but in Wisconsin. I'm from Dubuque. It's kind of near, but it's on the border. My friend Ross, Catholic school, kids from all the area. My friend Ross from Wisconsin was a great guy. I love the state. I like the Bucks a lot. Family root for them. I like the GM. I like some of the people in the front office. I do. Doc Rivers was a problem and a mistake. And me telling you that is not me hating you or being an idiot or coming after you. It's me trying to prepare you emotionally for the difficulties that are to come. It's like when your buddy starts dating somebody horrible and she treats him like garbage. You can't, if you really care about him, sit back and say everything's fine, she's great. You have to tell the truth. Even if he's mad at you for a while. So I'm going to tell you the truth. Doc Rivers is bad for you. He doesn't love you. He's going to break your heart, and it's not going to end well, okay? You got to find somebody else. You got to find somebody else. There's love out there, Milwaukee. Just staying with Doc. That's fun. Let's talk some college hoops. My guy Tom Crean, longtime former college basketball coach, basketball analyst, joins me next here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.